And so let us pray, and today we'll share God's word, and I pray that God will bless us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. We thank you for bringing us to the house of God, that, Lord, you have made it possible for us to come. Indeed, there have been many things around us that would have prevented us from coming, but you made it possible, O God. And for that, we are grateful. Indeed, we see that it is your hand and it is your heart that makes us love you. And it is you that died for us. It is you that shed your blood for us. And for that, we receive eternal life that comes from you. And Father, today, as we hear from you, I pray that you shall speak to us. It shall not be me speaking, but Lord, it shall be you speaking. And that by your grace, we shall receive the blessing and the message that we have for us today. And even as we're going to hear your word, may you speak to us, may your spirit speak to us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. And we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we will read some verses there, and we'll also look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope is in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. But there is a new order into this resurrection. Christ was raised as first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. And I will just jump to verse 30. Okay, verse 29, it says, if the dead will not be raised, what point is there in people being baptized for those who are dead? Why do it unless the dead will rise someday? And why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, brothers and sisters, that I face death daily, this as certain as my pride in what Christ has done for you. And what value is there if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, if there is no resurrection from the dead? And if there is no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning, for I say to your shame that some of you do not know God. Now, it's a very interesting message that I want to share today, and really it's a question that we usually ask ourselves about life and death. And if you ask yourself, what evidence do we have about life after death? Or if your child asks you today, mommy, daddy, yes, all of us are going to die. We will die someday. And or maybe grandpa has died, or you know, father or a child, a brother, a sister has passed on. And they ask, what is your assurance? Why do we pray? You know, why are we believing there is life after death? And you see, the question of human existence always is a question that many religions have tried to explain. If you go to the Hindus or some of the religions, they will tell you that reincarnation. That, you know, I will come back. If I did well, I will come back as a rich man, in a higher caste. If I did bad, I will come back either as a dog or as a snake or as a housefly. So they will tell you that after you come back, then you will come back as something else. But then there are others who don't believe in anything. There are those who are atheists. They say, I mean, if you die, we die. what is there beyond life? I mean, we die, we die. But then also there are those who believe there is judgment. There is life, there is hell. There is a good place, some will call it heaven, and there are those who believe there is a bad place, which is hell. And if you ask them, how do you get there? Some religions will tell you that, oh, if your good deeds will be weighed, right? They will weigh your good deeds compared with your bad deeds. If your good is more than your bad, then your good will take you to heaven. But how can you determine what is good, and how heavy, if you kill someone, that is bad? Now, even if you give to the poor all your life, is it more, can it replace life? So there is no way to balance one's good to be greater than one's bad. So for those who argue that, okay, after death, my good will be weighed against my bad, now, the question is, what measure will you use? Is it kilogram? Is it the amount of blood that was poured? Or, you know, there is no measure that one can use to determine the good from the bad. But one thing I like about God and about the Bible is that He has not been silent about such topics. That means that the Bible gives us the answers for every difficult question about life. And life and death are some of the most difficult questions that we have. So basically, when we think of death, we say that death is absence of life. So a phone is dead because it's not alive. It has no thoughts of its own. It cannot walk from here to there. It cannot think on its own. It can only be programmed. So anything that does not have the life that comes from God is dead. Now, animals, plants are alive. Why? Because God brought them, gave them life. So there is the animal life, there is the plant life, but then also there is what we call the human life. Now, the human life is what we receive from our parents. When you're born, when the child is born, we wait to hear the cry of the baby. I know I'm a doctor, and I know some of you are health practitioners. If the baby is born and there is no cry, no one is happy. What they do, they even slap the baby. They beat the bum, they beat the until the baby has to cry. When the baby cries, yes, it's paining. But the mother is happy. The doctors are happy. Everyone is happy when the baby is crying. Why? Because in as much as there is pain for the body, by the crying, life, the natural life, has come into that body, into that child. But you see also, when you look at, there are some babies who are born dead. The doctors will try. They will try, but nothing. Or some babies die in the womb, and it's painful because the mothers were waiting for this child, but then that child does not come. So death is really the absence of life. And what we see is that we have the physical life, which is, you know, the Greeks call it bios. Bios, which is the biological life, the life that is in your blood. If we cut your blood comes out, what happens is that everything goes, you die. But then, when we look at God, the encounters of God with Adam, he told him that if you eat from the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, in that day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Now, that tells you that there is something, another life that God was talking about, because when Adam ate of the fruit, he did not fall to the ground and die immediately, no. He kept on living, but there was the spiritual life, which is the life of God, which is what we call Zoe, the life of God that died that day. So he experienced what we call spiritual death. So there is a physical death, which if you are shot by a gun, they kill you. What happens is your physical life goes, and that is the bios life, it goes. And you die, the absence of life. But then also, there is the spiritual death, where you can find someone is alive today. They are walking, they are eating, but at night they are crying. No peace. There's no peace with God. Why? Because they try to pray, but you see, the Bible tells us that sin separates God from us, that he cannot hear our prayers. So now, because of sin, there is that spiritual death that anyone who has not met Jesus suffers from or experiences. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life. Now, I also want you to understand that not only death is what you will call like the spiritual death, there is also what we call death, the personality. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, that since death came by one man, so that means death came as a person, a spiritual being that is called death. And what we know from scriptures, or what we see, is that when someone is about to die, they tell you that they are coming for me. I don't know if you've heard or been with someone. Either they will tell you that I see angels are coming for me, or I see darkness is coming for me. And that tells us that when death comes, it comes to every man, because the Bible tells us it is appointed once for man to die, and then judgment. So there are two kinds of people. Now, if you are a believer in Christ, the Bible tells us that when we die, we actually sleep. And that's what the Bible says, let us not mourn, let us not cry like people who don't have hope, for those who have slept in the Lord. Now, as a Christian, when you die, the Bible tells us what we do is that we sleep. But when the unbeliever dies, what happens is that they die and they await judgment. Now, when in that place where they stay is called Hades, where it is a place of suffering, they are not yet judged. They can feel pain. They know they are separated from God. You remember Lazarus, the story of Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man was said that, Father Abraham, if you can just put your finger in water and just dip it in my tongue. That means that he was suffering. So there was a separation. Now, in this place of separation, there are those who are in Abraham's bosom, who are in paradise. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And then there is also hell, which is the place of torment. So there are two places, there are two waiting places that people wait in. Now, at the end of the time when Jesus shall come back and to judge, and there are two judgments that will take place. One judgment is the judgment for those who died in sin. And this judgment is where the Bible says that anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life shall be thrown into the lake of fire. And this you can read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, 14, and 15. Verse 15 says, and anyone who's, okay, maybe I'll read verse 14. It says, then death and grave were thrown into the lake of fire. That means death, the personality. You can imagine death, because death comes for people. Death, the personality, was thrown in the lake of fire. Death and grave, or death and Hades, was thrown into the lake of fire. And the Bible says the lake of fire is the second death. So, anyone who dies out of Christ, you will die twice. You will die physically, and then you will die in the second death, which is where you will be thrown in the lake of fire. And verse 15 says, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, this is the final judgment that the Bible says it is appointed once for man to die, then judgment. But then the Christians, the believers, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 that it says that for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, good or bad, according to what he has done. And in many other places, the Bible shows us how each of us shall receive a prize, a crown from the Lord. When Paul says, I have labored, I am waiting for my prize. Now, that tells us that as believers, there is also going to be a judgment for rewards, which we call the judgment for rewards. And here, what Christ will be looking at, yes, when you accepted your life, when you gave your life to Jesus, that was me doing it. The first book of life is Jesus. This is him dying for us. No one pays for it. It is free of charge. It is, you put your faith, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe. Do you believe he died for your sins? Yes, I believe. Do you believe you'll go to heaven? Yes, I believe. And what happens? The Bible says your name is written in the book of life. So when your name is written in the book of life, you escape the second death, which is the lake of fire. Now, when your name is written in the book of life, you become a Christian, then now, that's why we're reading that, God will now ask us, now, as you have grown as a Christian, what is it? What is it that you have done for the kingdom of God? You see, this has been a month of missions. And think of the people, think of all the disciples. History tells us that all the disciples all died for the gospel. Think of the missionaries, those who came to India. Some went in places they were just killed. There's this story of Hawaii, in Hawaii, where some missionaries went. And when they reached there, the people found them. And they just put a fire, killed them, burnt them. But as they burnt them, what happens is that angels appeared around the fire. And those people were concerned. They were scared. They were always worried. These people who came to preach to us Jesus, there was something about them. So now, there was now a second group of missionaries who heard what the first missionaries happened to them, that they were killed. Now, as they were going, for them they were going to die. They were ready to die. Why? Because the Christian is given victory over death. For us, we do not fear death. Why? Because Christ resurrected. And he is alive today. And because he resurrected, we too shall also resurrect, and we shall live forever and ever. Amen. Now, when the second missionaries went, they knew that the first missionaries were killed. But they did not know the miracle that had happened when these first missionaries were killed. So when they went, they came ready to die. But as they said, we are coming to preach Jesus, the community said, no, 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 we are going to hear from you. And please forgive us because we killed the previous missionary. So the first missionaries that went paid the price with their lives. And this is what our sister was sharing earlier on, that when we are reaching out for the lost, there is a price that we pay. There is a price that some of us leave our families. Some people have lost all their relatives. Those who have, we know it, those who have converted from other faiths, you become rejected. You lose your land, inheritance. They never want to see you. You have to move away from your district to another district. Now, will God be fair if all of us are at the same level? Those who paid the price, those who lost for their lives, those who constantly are risking themselves to share the gospel, those who, when they see their family members living in sin, it pains them. Maybe you're in the workplace and you can see these people are lost. And yes, you know, your organization cannot allow you to share something. Does it burden you that you're like, God, please, I pray for them, that they shall one day meet someone who can share the gospel? Because the Bible says that the harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, we can be the laborers. There is someone to which you are the right laborer for. In your environment, in the people you work with, in your family members, there's someone maybe you help constantly. There's a young person you support. And you can see that this person does not really know the gospel. God has made you the right laborer for them. You might not be able to preach to your family members, but you can ask God, can you bring a right laborer who can speak to them that they will know? Because the reality is, when someone dies, it is too late for them. We read that there are some people who are baptizing themselves for the dead. They are praying for the dead. But everyone is judged according to their own actions. So it is not what your parents did, is not what your wife did, is not what your husband did, is not what your children do. You know, some people say, no, let the children go to Sunday school. They'll pray for us. You know, sometimes when you're telling people, come to church, no, my wife will come. The children will come. Let them come, yeah. But they themselves, they don't go. Now, if we are to experience the victory, because death, yes, is a personality. Yes, death has been given power over us now. Yes, death has works in our bodies. You know, when you find that you are sick, that is death working. Your cells are dying, or your eyesight is going down, you know, or your hair is falling. You know, many things in these bodies of ours are falling away. That is why we find we become sick. Someone will say, but why am I sick, mommy? You know, as a child will ask, why am I sick? This is because on the earth, this body, because of Adam, it falls away. But you see, in us, there is the spiritual life, the life of God, which God gives us when we believe in him. And this life, if the Bible tells us, it is ever increasing from glory to glory. Our life that God gives us, as we read the word of God, as we pray, the Bible says each and every day we are being transformed to become more like God. Each and every day, each and every one of us, every time you come to church, every time you come and hear the word of God, every time you sing a song to worship, every time you pray, the Bible tells us that our inner man is being renewed, being made strong, being made in the image and likeness of God. So as Christians, I want to encourage us today. We know that sin leads to death. Maybe you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, when you make that commitment and say, you know what, yes, I come. Yes, I attend church. Yes, I hear good things about Christians. Oh, I like their music. But you've never said within yourself that, you know what, God, I want to commit my life to follow you. The day you commit your life to follow after Jesus, that day your name is written in the book of life. But then after your name is written in the book of life, then now you start to grow in the things of God. As you read the word of God, as you pray, as you take time to fast, as you take time to give thanks, as you take time to serve God. You see, many of us love to be served. But God will ask us, what did we do with the faith that he gave us? With the free gift that he gave us? And that is where it's called the judgment seat of Christ, which is where each and every one of us will receive our rewards. I want to encourage us, find something to do in the house of God. Find something to do in the house. Even if it is to come and arrange chairs, come and arrange them. Even if you say, I will be praying 5 minutes for the church, I'll be praying for every service, I will come maybe 10 minutes or 30 minutes before the service, just to pray for the service. Even if it means every Friday I will invite one person. Yes, you are not a pastor. Yes, you cannot preach, but you can bring someone. And at 10 that you remind them, hey, I'm coming with a lecture to your house. You better be ready. That person that you bring to the kingdom of God is recorded somewhere. And in heaven, when you come for your reward, you say, there'll be a line of people, they'll say, it was because of this brother that brought me to Jesus. That I am in heaven because of this person. And this person, because you have brought them in the Lord, they will also say, even me, as I was brought by this person, I also brought this person. And you can see that maybe you brought one person to Jesus, and this child or this person becomes the next evangelist for Bangladesh. We are looking for Reinhard Bonnke. Maybe that Reinhard Bonnke is that one believer who you will bring to Jesus. And God gives them the gift of healing. God gives them the gift of anointing, the power. And all of a sudden you just hear, ah, there's a new evangelist, Tripura. Huh? But you see, the reward that he shall have, you will also rejoice in it. Why? Because you reached one person, and this one person brought others. I hope I did not scare you with the message of death and life. But I wanted us to just reflect what Christ has done for us and where are we going beyond this life? What are we doing for the kingdom of God? If God is to ask us, and that's why there's a statement that has been mentioned before, that you are either a missionary or you are a mission field. Either you are reaching out or you need to be reached out to. So you are either a missionary or a mission field. The command was given to all of us, go out into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Today, think of someone that you really want. Maybe you have a friend, but you know this friend is just lost in maybe drinking alcohol, or is just lost in another religion. And just say, God, please find, save them. I might not be the right person to preach to them, but send someone to preach to them. Because anyone who comes to God, someone has prayed for them. Someone paid the price for them to come. Someone went and preached to them. Someone risked their life. Someone invited them to church. Let us, all of us, be missionaries today. It's a month of missions, and I want to encourage you. You are either a missionary or you are a mission field. And if you cannot go, you can also support those who are going. That's what we have said. There are many ways to do missions. Here, maybe we cannot do open evangelism, We cannot, you know, shout, we cannot put a speaker outside. There are countries where we can do that, and God helps us. But then there is someone you will meet who is crying, and you will tell them, you know what? The reason I believe is Jesus. That is a mission. And in, when you have done that, you have fulfilled the heart of God. I want us to pray. Let us close our eyes and take a moment and reflect on your life. And ask yourself, to be honest, am I sure? Am I certain of where I am going? Yes, when troubles come, when sickness comes, even if death comes, will I sleep in death, or will I just die and await the second death in the lake of fire? And I want you to just open your mouth and speak to God and ask God to cleanse your heart, to forgive you for things that move him away from you. Ask God to fill you with his spirit. Ask God to give you a new lease of life. Ask God for the grace to be committed to the things of God. You see, many times we forget what it means to serve God. Ask God to remind us, to give us that peace. Ask God to open our eyes to know how to reach out to our family members who need the gospel. How to reach out to our children. How to reach out to our parents. How to reach out to our cousins. Ask God to make us missionaries, to make us men who can invite others, to make us women who can just say one word that can change someone from darkness to light. And indeed, Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters that are taking this moment of reflection. You know each and every one of them, and you know their hearts. And I pray for everyone that is here, everyone that wants to give their life to Jesus, to commit themselves again, to say, God, help me that I may be your child. And even as every eye is closed, I don't know if you're there and you just want to say this prayer. You've never made a commitment to be a Christian and you want to commit yourself. Just indicate by raising your hand and you can put it down. And I want to just pray with you that this commitment that you can make shall be for your name to be in the book of life. Is there anyone who wants to make that prayer today? You can just indicate by raising your hand and I will pray with you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else? Let us pray together. Let us just say this prayer together. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Let's all say after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come before you.
I
thank you.
For
you died on the cross for me.
Died on the cross for me.
And because of your death.
And because of your death.
I am made alive today.
I am made alive today.
I put my faith in you.
I put my faith in you.
That you have given me eternal life.
That you have given me eternal life.
And write my name.
And write my name.
In the book of life.
In the book of life.
And I ask for the Holy Spirit.
I ask for the Holy Spirit.
To teach me how to live as a Christian. Give me the grace to read the Bible.
Give me the grace to read the Bible.
Give me the grace to pray.
Give me the grace to pray.
And give me the grace to serve you in the church.
Give me the grace to serve you in the church.
I pray all this.
I pray all this.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.